Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Like, I think what he's talking about, and this is kind of where my mind is, and it is why, and who cares what the matchup predictor says, but when I look at it as 61.1%, I do think to myself, hold on. When you get to a game like this, and it's at the end of the year, and so much is on the line, don't you feel like the possibilities and opportunities for something wonky go down? Like, it's less. If it's Tuesday night in February, you know what I mean? Like, that's okay. It's an NBA game. Somebody came in. Somebody got hot. Whatever. You were kind of sleepwalking. You lost the game. There's no chance of that tonight. You can lose. They can get hot. You can get outplayed. But it's not because we're all tired or there's a lack of focus. And this is why Steve Kerr played the game the way he did on Sunday. That's why you shorten your rotation. Because you're like, no, we're just going to go. We're going to go with our best right now for the whole game. We're not worried about people's fatigue. We're not thinking about next week because there is no next week yet. And that's why he did what he did there. And I'd expect him to do it again tonight. And so when you give those numbers for what it's like over the whole year,
right,
to me, they've got to go up tonight. They got to go up tonight.
The odds that they would go ahead and handle the business.
In other words, yes. Like if home teams are 58% or 54% for the year. Well, not in the playoffs. It's got to be higher, right? Because everyone's going with their absolute best shot.
You would figure, but I do think about this Warrior team and what we've seen in games where they've just lost, and they've lost because of the way they've shot the basketball. And so we talk about it being a make-or-miss league. When they shoot 40%, they win the majority of those games, 40% from three, rather. So that, to me, becomes the line of demarcation where if Steph is hitting his threes and Moses and Quentin and Pods and all the rest of it, if you are going to make 12 of 30 threes, you're probably going to win the game. That right there would be a good indicator to me. Maybe 12 is low for how many threes they shoot. But if you're shooting it from three and you're doing well, you're going to win the game. That's been the way the Warriors have done it this year and throughout this run. If you have a cold night or, you know, Steph is off and Moses is unable to really get comfortable because of his back spasms, which have him as questionable.
Yep.
The next injury report coming up in 27 minutes. I don't know if we'll get a definitive answer then, but
probably not.
That is the only thing for me that can bite you on any night, is if you happen to have a cold shooting night.
Yeah, absolutely. Or, as Jimmy Butler, I think, has really, really focused on since he arrived here, turnovers. Like, for me, that's the word tonight. The Warriors aren't losing this game if they don't turn it over. They're not losing this game if they don't turn it over. You know, they played great on Sunday, but in the end, they lost it because of untimely turnovers. And we know that this has always been the Warriors' bugaboo, if you will. It's always been that. And now Steph Curry's got a wrap on his thumb. And he does favor his left side when he's dribbling. And that does affect the way that Steph Curry approaches a defense, because he uses his dribble a lot to create open space for himself. And I don't know where his confidence level is with regard to his thumb. And so, yeah, that's like Kevin Harlan pointed it out, and I agree with him. That's nerve-wracking. We're all sitting here going, okay, all three of them aren't on the injury report. That does not mean that they're playing at full strength. And all three of them might be something lesser than them than their normal self out there tonight. And so that could totally spell doom.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think we're used to this time of year, the greats rise, they're able to battle through stuff. That's what I would lean toward and expect. And if the Warriors play a clean-ish, mature-ish basketball game, they'll win this one. That's what you have to do to beat teams like the Memphis Grizzlies.
You can't give them live ball turnovers and free possessions. And just looking at the numbers, when they turn it over 20 or more times this year, Mark, they're 0-6. And I know 20 is a lot. I wonder what the league-wide winning percentage is when you have 20 turnovers. Probably not good. But you mentioned the word bugaboo, and you get up to that 18, 19, 20 number against a team like Memphis that's already going to play fast. Yeah. They play the fastest brand of basketball in the league. If you're giving up live ball turnovers, which means it's not a travel, that's a dead ball, or you step out of bounds, or it's an 8-second violation, live ball is when you throw it and they get it. And they go the other way
with
a young, fast team, and they get points a lot of the time. You got to avoid those at all costs.
That's a no-go.
Yeah.
The idea,
it's going to be a no from you.
North of 15 turnovers is a no-go for me. That is a no from me, dog. Jason in Concord would love to take as many of your phone calls here in this 5 o'clock hour. If you're just getting into your car, here we go. We're 2 hours away from tip in what Anthony Slater has said is the biggest Warrior basketball game since Game 6 against the Lakers 2 years ago, and I'd argue it might be even bigger than that one. I think it's as big as the Warriors have had since Game 7 in Sacramento a couple of weeks before the one that he's referencing. But whatever, it is a monster game. Moses Moody popped as questionable today because of back spasms this morning, and so we're awaiting word on that. We don't have it as of yet. It obviously could affect Jonathan Kuminga. We know a lot of people are wondering about that, but there's nothing definitive on that front as of yet. And outside of that, as you make your way to wherever you're going to watch the game tonight, we're glad that you're with us, and we'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570. Jason in Concord on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Jason.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, man.
Hey, I wonder if we have a stats or anybody keeping track, what's the Warriors' record in crunch time? Crunch time, I believe, is five minutes toward the end of the game within 5 points. What's our record? Because it seems like we're turning the ball over too many times, especially in crunch time. And our veteran is turning the ball more than the youngsters, Steph Curry and Draymond Green. Why does that happen? And does Steve Kerr let the veterans play, let them do whatever they want, and there's a lack of responsibility there. I hate to say it. Steve Kerr is a championship. He's a nine-time champion coach, but it seems like in crunch time we seem to lose it for some reason, especially our veterans. And Draymond Green, please go get that layup, man. Don't lean over. get that damn layup.
Yeah, that's fair. Jason, let me say this, and I don't have the numbers in front of me right now. Jason, thank you very much. I think their clutch stat this year is 25 and 20.
You're on the money.
Okay, 20.
Second most clutch games in the association.
Right, but 25 and 20 and 9-4 since Jimmy Butler arrived. And so what I would say, I'm not going to say you're wrong, because like we've watched a couple of games kind of get coughed up recently and pointed to turnovers, namely Sunday. But I do think it's fan perception that, oh, man, why are we always coughing the game up late? They're not. They've actually, since Jimmy's arrival, they've been very good in clutch games, 9-4 to be exact. He's changed that. He's been able to get to the free throw line. I think all fans always feel, oh, man, we're always the ones screwing it up. And that's the way fans feel. Here's the other thing, though, and this is now going into Warrior history. They've always been a turnover-happy team. They were one of the teams that led the league in turnovers when they were winning titles back in the early ages, in the KD era and whatnot. Steph Curry has always played that way. And maybe they need to, I agree, probably gussy it up a little bit now because they're not as dynamic as they were. 7 years ago, for example. I think Jimmy has brought that consciousness and that vibe, and there you go. 9-4 in clutch games since he arrived. Sunday just wasn't one of them. 9-3 before that one.
Yep, and they've been really good, and they've had, like I said, 45 of those games, which is second most only to Minnesota, and you're 10th on the year at 25-20, so not as good as you'd like to be, but that tells me that in the games that aren't clutch games, you've wound up with, you know, a better record. So the clutch games, you've lost more than you had in the rest of the games, because you wound up 48-34, right? So that means that you were 23-14 in non-clutch games, which means you were more often than not the team doing the blowing out as opposed to getting blown out.
Yeah, I don't know if people need to hear this, but when you look at the NBA from 10,000 feet, the Warriors are a good team.
Oh, yeah.
The Warriors are a good basketball team. The Warriors are a good basketball team.
Sure, sure.
Almost feel like we're in the Good Will Hunting moment here, right? It's not your fault.
Right.
The Warriors are a good basketball team.
And if you look at the teams
Let that sink in.
Well, and if you want to talk about clutch games and teams that don't do well in those games, Utah's 8-25 in clutch games. They might be the worst team in the association.
I'm surprised that it's that high, to be honest with you.
That many?
Yeah, I would have thought it was more like 4-29.
The other teams at the bottom are Toronto, Miami, Charlotte, the Pelicans, and Philadelphia. So those are five of the worst teams in the association. Top of the clutch, I think you've heard of these teams, Boston, Cleveland, and OKC.
Oh.
They're 1-2-3 in winning percentage of clutch games, and OKC only played 24 of them.
Yeah, dude, they blew people out. Well, I mean, they set a record, right? They set a record for point differential.
Right, but of the 24 games, they actually had to bite some nails. They were 16-8.
Yeah.
No, so they did it in all ways.
Phenomenal team.
Yep.
Archie and Marin is next up on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Archie. Thanks for the call.
Hey, bud. Thanks for grabbing the call.
Yeah.
Guys, I think this is a good conversation to have, and I tend to agree with you on the idea that firing Steve is the answer to everyone's problems here, but I do think it's fair to kind of question, because in organizations, and I think we saw it over the time with Clay and Jordan and some of those tougher decisions, I do think that when you've led an organization that had a lot of success, I think you can develop some blind spots. And I think that that's why people are up in arms, because I think there's a passionate fan base. You know, four championships will do that for us, which has been great. People care. And I think that when people look at the eye test, I think they see the best version of this team includes our best athletes and players being on the court. And I think, you know, it's hard to say JK is not one of those folks. Now, if you start parsing apart and looking at, you mentioned earlier that the data is overwhelming. I got to say, I've dug into a lot of the data on Clean the Glass and a lot of the other advanced analytic things. I haven't done, you know, hours and hours of day job, but it's not overwhelming. I mean, there is a player on our team where the data is overwhelming, at least on that Clean the Glass stats. It's the guy that we got. I mean, almost any statistic that you don't have to pay for on that site, Jimmy Butler is like top 10 percentile and usually top 3, 4, 5 percentile on every we're seeing and loving about having him on the team. But there are players on the team that have flaws, and certainly JK is one of them. But so is Draymond. I mean, some caller just mentioned a minute ago, he's 7th percentile in turnover rate, and he has the ball pretty consistently at the end of the game, and guess what a lot of us see? They see turnovers. So is he also a defensive player of the year candidate? Absolutely, and that's why he's out there. He should be out there. So I think that this narrative that it's so overwhelmingly obvious that it's JK and he's a problem and you know he's not making the right rotation. The rotation stuff he's missing is super subtle. And I just think that if the narrative was more like, look, you know, I think Steve wants to win. He's doing what he thinks is going to help us win. But I do think it's really a complex thing, and maybe, frankly, proprietary. Maybe there's data that they can't even share with us.
I'm sure there is. Yeah, and Archie, I think Archie, hang on a sec. It's overstated, and I don't know who's saying this. Like, you used the phrase, JK is a problem. He's not a problem. He's not the problem. He's not any of those things. But I also, I wonder about the premise of where you started your conversation of, we want to see our best athletes on the field. Do you know what I mean? Like, or on the court. I don't know that that's relevant. I don't care what anybody's vertical leap is. What I care is, you just mentioned that what's overwhelming is the data about Jimmy Butler. And what every Warrior reporter, I'm going to spin this so that it doesn't sound like stuff we're saying. Every Warrior reporter we've talked to says the numbers are concerning with regard to Jimmy Butler and Jonathan Kuminga playing basketball together. And then Steve Kerr said it to us. And I think it's just crazy to think that they're all making that up. You know what I mean?
How many minutes have they been on the court together? How many possessions have they been on the court together?
Yeah,
it's been 13 minutes.
Yeah, not
13 minutes that we've seen the lineup.
No,
13 minutes, less than one quarter of basketball.
Right. Well, no, not total. Are you talking about per night?
I'm saying since Jimmy and JK have been back,
yeah,
the lineup of Steph, Pods, JK, Jimmy, and Draymond, that lineup, which a lot of people would say is our best five lineup. That lineup has played 13 total minutes together. Slater said it on the pod this week.
But, and
13
why do you,
minutes.
And why do you think that is, though? Why do you, because, Archie, what I will tell you, there's a very large sample of Kuminga being on the court with Draymond and Jimmy. That's a much larger sample. Forget Steph and Pods. And that larger sample is showing that the Warriors are not getting the returns that they want. There's not enough shooting on the court.
Yep, there's a large sample with JK on the court with Looney and GP2. And you know what that looks like? It's a plus 24.
Okay. So,
and I think that's about 50 to 60 possessions.
So you're advocating
that shooting?
But
I'm saying the data, that you have to look into the data. You can't just say, okay, well, here's the data. It's simple, open and shut.
No one has said that. They're saying that literally just about that threesome of Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, and Jonathan Kuminga. Like, you just brought up Looney, who, quite frankly, spends most games playing less than 20 minutes. So if you're advocating a lineup that's featuring Jonathan Kuminga, Kevon Looney, and GP2, Archie, come on, what are we talking about? We're missing something.
I'm not advocating.
There.
I'm telling you that the data looks good. And so if you're trying to tell me that we can't swap out Draymond for Looney and Jimmy for GP2, and it's a shooting problem, it's not a shooting problem. It's a time together problem. It needs more reps.
Yeah.
People say, hey, let's give this a good look, and then 2 games later we yank it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that there's a reason that people are seeing this stuff. It's not as open and shut as we think. It's probably really complicated, and hopefully it's proprietary, and I hope it's right.
Well, I think there's a reason that people see this stuff. I know, Archie, and you make some very good points. Thank you for calling, but I think you've created your own blind spot, just my opinion. Because, again, what you're doing in each – oh, let's check that lineup. That lineup houses the three-man group of Kuminga, Butler, and Green. And the Warriors have what they feel is a very large sample of that group, and it doesn't give them what they've been wanting. So you can put whoever – the other two can be Michael Jordan and LeBron James. And the Warriors are like, based on what we've seen – it's a problem. That's what they're seeing. And I don't know. Golden State Warriors are pretty financially and emotionally invested in winning basketball games.
Well, and what Archie said was, it's been 13 minutes of those guys playing together in totality, and yet he also said you need to have a chance to see it more and let it really marinate and see exactly what you have, but you don't have that luxury right now because...
Yep.
Sunday was a game you needed to make a top six playoff spot, and now tonight, coming up here in an hour and 43, you don't have time to fool around and find out. You don't have tinker time. You got to go with what you know is going to work, and right now it hasn't included JK in a lot of these combos.
Yeah, people are jumping data now. No, like it's almost like nobody said there's a bunch of data that says Jonathan Kuminga sucks at basketball. Again, Draymond, Jimmy, Jonathan. Any other grouping, quite frankly, based on this conversation that was started by Steve, doesn't matter. That group is not giving them what they want as far as outcome. And as you get into the games mattering more, two of the members of that group almost have to be on the court most of the time because they're your stars.
Well, one of those guys
I think it's
might
as simple
play every
as that.
Minute tonight.
Yeah, like we start talking about Looney and GP. I'm sorry. That's not part of what they brought up. It's not part of what the Warriors are seeing.
Well, it's been a small sample, and the numbers that Archie was throwing out are great. And, you know, cleaning the glass, if you want to partake in the real deep dive analytical numbers, it's great. You get usage and percentages and percentiles and all the rest of it. And I would imagine the Warriors have access to the premium numbers on that account, and they have their own numbers and they have their eye test and all the rest of it. And so I would guess that. But however this ends, if they are able to bring back Jonathan Kuminga next year at a price that works for both, and he might be a part of the team, doesn't feel right now like that's very likely based on recent events, but just playing along with what Archie is saying, this year ends the way it ends, and you bring back Kuminga, well, now you've got a training camp, and you've got a run-up to where you can see how do we get Jimmy, Draymond, and Jonathan to play together and play well together. You'll have a longer run-up to be able to go ahead and see what you have. Right now, you don't have that luxury.
I totally agree with you. I think there's still many twists and turns that could happen here. Many, many twists and turns, including this being very different sounding next week. Next week. I just don't see this. Like, I understand that the basis of the conversation is Jonathan Kuminga. I don't even see it so much about Kuminga. I see it about it's playoff time, and these are like, these feel pretty damn close to one-and-done type games. And when you do that, you shorten your bench. You shorten it, and you put your stars out there more. And right now, there's an issue with Jonathan and a couple of the Warriors' stars, and they're going to be on the floor almost the entire game. And if that's the case, I just don't find it irrational. Is it perfect? Maybe not. Is it something against what the fans are hoping for? Yeah, sure, I get that. Everybody loves to see Jonathan and every player succeed. But I don't think it's irrational what the Warriors did based on what they have seen, which is that that group of three does not provide the output that they want in a basketball team. I really don't know that it's about much else.
I don't know if it's irrational. I know that it makes sense based on what happened with the Clippers, and I think it's the way the Clippers play. It's not the way Memphis plays. That's why I do believe that Jonathan Kuminga will play tonight. But also, let's say he doesn't play, and you beat Memphis. Well, now you're going to go up against Houston. Are we going to continue to not play Jonathan Kuminga, or are we going to find a way to bring him back and have him be a part of a playoff series? Because for me, and I said this weeks ago, I think that he has to be a part of the Warriors in order for them to go on any kind of a run.
I don't disagree with that at all. And it's different when you start a seven-game series as opposed to when you're like, we have to win tonight. And maybe you're right about the matchups. Steve Kerr just said this less than a minute ago.
Oh.
Pre-game availability right now.
Fresh slates.
Just said this less than a minute ago. The Clippers are among the slowest paced teams in the NBA. Quote, that was our slowest paced game of the entire season. He indicated that he thought tonight would be very different. Does that lean in JK's direction? Maybe. Or maybe that's just the pace of the game, and has nothing to do with his rotations. I don't know. We're going to find out. If they're talking to Steve, I'm sure the Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga questions are not far away. I don't know how he'll answer them, though. He may well not be ready to talk about that pregame. It's not like he announced it before the Clipper game that Jonathan wasn't playing.
Right, and he wouldn't do that again tonight.
Right.
You know, he'll just, and about Moses and his back spasms, maybe he'll give some clarity as to how he's going to warm up and give it a shot, or I like where he's at, or no, he's not going to be ready. Hopefully it's going to be a classic, like, you know, Moses is, you know, doing all he can to get ready, and we're going to send him out there for warm-ups, and we'll see how he's doing.
Yeah. So
with the back spasms.
With that conversation underway, we're going to keep close an eye on it. Stay right where you are with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. If anything comes out with regard to Moses or Jonathan or anyone else, we're going to pass it along right away. Rich in Daly City next up on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Rich.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the issues that I'm seeing as frustrating me is we clearly have an older team. But, you know, in both the 12-0 run at the beginning of the year and most recently the 13 or so wins, the issue that I've been having is, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And what I've seen is Kerr has shrunk in both instances the size of the bench and the line when strength in numbers was being touted early on as being the issue to supplement our older vets. And now he's shrunk it to the point where we're relegated to small ball. And, you know, our vets are getting tired. And, you know, with the small ball, we're getting offensively rebounded. And it's going to get worse once playoffs go into the half-court set. So that's where my issue is. And I wonder if to what extent this Kerr's monkeying around with the bench is really messing with the flow that was already established with Guy Post as well as JK being more involved in the offense. I don't know what you guys think.
Yeah, Rich, I mean, it's an interesting take. I don't know that the rebounding thing, I have felt like it's been a problem in all games. It was a very big problem Sunday. I get that, and you can feel that way about the loss to Houston recently too, but don't you think in general that's kind of a sports norm that when you get to these must wins at the end, you kind of shorten the rotation that you play with, don't you think?
Well, you know, my only problem is it's almost, you know, I get the logic, but that's been happening for the 4 years. That's his excuse that we can't develop the guys because we're so focused on maximizing the years with Steph. And same thing with focusing on winning, you know, this year, we're ignoring the blatant fact that we have a deeper bench to address some of these issues, but he's stubbornly refusing and fixated on using GP3 out of position more times than not. And, you know, I'm only concerned we haven't added any size, and it's going to be more relevant when we're playing bigger teams with more length and athleticism that we're still playing small ball. I mean, I grew up watching Nelly ball, and I was sick of that back then, and he's reverted back to that.
Yeah.
And
Don't you think it's gone pretty well, though, Rich? Don't you think it's gone well? You said he uses this as an excuse every time. Don't you think that it's gone pretty well, don't you think?
Well, I think the logic is you use a small ball lineup to outrun the bigger lineups. But as playoffs go, it becomes a half-court game, and then that's where the size starts kicking in. I think throughout the years, people are saying, oh, look, they're winning, and so forth, but look at the teams that are left. All of them have at least two or three 7-footers, 6'11 guys that are athletic and can rebound. And I don't know if you can do that with a bunch of 6'3, 6'4 guys because you're playing all small guards, four and out, you know, four small guards and Draymond. And I don't know they're older. So I don't know if that's going to wear if we're going to make a deep run in the playoffs as a result of that.
Yeah, Rich, I get it. It's a good call. It's a good call.
Yeah, I mean, they're fifth in the league this year in rebounding.
Right.
And
right.
Memphis has 3 7-footers at least, and they were number 2 in rebounds. Part of that, though, is because when you play at Memphis's pace, you're going to have more possessions, more shots, both ways, offensively and defensively. And that game against the Clippers on Sunday was a bit of an anomaly where you got out-rebounded by 20-plus, and you still went to overtime.
Right.
So
you led by 4 with a minute 45 to go.
And, you know, we all want to fixate on the size, and they tried to address it with Jonathan Wiseman and James Wiseman. So much Jonathan in my head, but
Jonathan,
Wiseman.
It's pronounced
James
Jonathan Kamaiseman.
That's kind of what it is.
I
got Kuminga on the brain, but that to me is a big part of it because Kuminga and his athleticism should be a better rebounder than Brandon Podziemski, but he's just not. And so that might be part of what is holding him back from playing time. And even though you don't have a big team, what did Eric Hasseltine tell us earlier about the series against Memphis when Kevon Looney, he had 24 rebounds in a game. So rebounding is about attitude and effort, and this team rebounds just fine. They're tied for fifth in the league in rebounds. So now,
I mean, again, for me, this all goes to the acquisition of Jimmy Butler. And I feel like what the organization has been trying to tell people is, do y'all notice that, like, we got Jimmy and then we got a lot better? Everybody notice that? We found something that we think works. And I'd argue it's working better than at any other point over the last 2 years of Warrior basketball. This to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but these 31 games, that looks like the best. I'm not saying championship level or perfect. I'm saying the best. That's the best they've looked in 2 years. Don't you want to lean into that? Don't you want to lean into that group? That group that's looked that way. I would, and I think that's what they're doing. And whatever name that adds and whatever name that leaves out and whatever that person's height is or vertical leap, I don't know how relevant that is. Strength in numbers, by the way, I know it's got history with our team. I know there were t-shirts. That's not what's grabbed my attention. I'm not like, let's go to the playoffs and everybody plays and that's how we'll beat people. I don't know teams winning NBA championships because they're 11 deep in the playoffs. Nobody's going to do that.
No, and even if you're a team like Oklahoma City that probably could go 10 or 11 deep because they have that kind of a team, yep. They are that deep. When they get deep into a series and they get deep into a game, they're going to shorten that thing up as much as they have to try to make sure their best players can go out there and play. And you can't go with a deep rotation if you want to play Jimmy Butler 44 minutes, which I think they will, and Draymond's minutes go up, and Steph's do too, and Pods has played. He's played his way out of the role player category.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, he's now a mainstay, and he plays 30-plus minutes, 32 minutes, so you run out of minutes to dole out for a strength in numbers type of approach.
Let's go to Rich in Fremont. Hi, Rich. What's going on?
What's up, guys? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, you know, I think what it really comes down to is something I've been calling into the show all year about, and really it's a lack of defense, you know, especially when it's down the stretch. I feel like, you know, and I understand this is probably the strenuous part of the game, you know, the fourth quarter when guys have been running up and down for three quarters and their legs are not as strong as they were in the beginning of the game. I get all that, but still, they got to do something with this team to get them to play defense for the entire four quarters, okay? Especially down the seconds, because that's when their defense gets piss poor. It's really bad. And, oh, by the way, I got to come down your road, Dan Dibley, because the other day you said that, you know, Steph shouldn't be shimmying. I'm going to tell you something. If Steph is feeling it, that brother should be shimmying all up and down that court. That's Stephen freaking Curry, man. Let's keep it real. Let the man shimmy, man. Let him shimmy.
What happened post-shimmy? What happened post-shimmy?
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, he gone.
What? Wait a minute, what?
After he shimmied, he proceeded to turn the ball over not once but twice, and they lost the game. Just be careful when you shimmy.
It was a mistake. I mean, what do we know about Steph, though? Steph turned the ball over. He does. But still, you can't take away his feeling if he's feeling good. Come on, now.
Yeah. I mean, maybe he motivated James Harden and Zubats. Zubats is probably mad, Rich. Thank you for the
Thanks,
phone
Rich.
Call. Zubats is like, you shimmy? I'm Zubats. You better recognize. Zubizi got loose.
I hope that's his celebration. I would love that if he just walked up to people and he's like, I'm Zubats.
You better recognize. That'd be great.
I'm Zubats.
just throw it near the rim. I'm a Zubats all over that basket.
Trevor in the city. Hi, Trevor. What's up? Oh, that was a good call.
Boom.
Bong. Let's go to Dan in the city. Hi, Dan.
Yo, what's up, guys? Love the show. Love everything you guys do.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for taking my call.
Let's do it. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to tap in a little bit and talk about the issues everyone's having with us going small. And I think you hit it on the head a few minutes ago talking about we're fifth in the league. Look, man, other teams watching us rebound must be just irritated. Our guys are small, and they're rebounding better than a lot of teams that have big men. I think that people need to chill. We're playing good basketball. The margins in the NBA are super small, super small. We made a few mistakes, and that's why we lost the game the other day. A few things go our way, a couple bounces here and there. You know, and we're either tied, going to double overtime, or we win that game. I think we just need to kick back, enjoy Warriors basketball, let Curry do what he does. He's a four-time champ, a gold medal, Olympian. They know what they're doing, man. People need to kick back and just enjoy it. The games are fun. We're in the chase right now, whether we win a chip or not. It's exciting time to be a Bay Area Warriors fan. So just everyone just needs to enjoy it while we have it. Thanks for taking my call, and love you guys, man.
All right, man. Free Dan.
Yeah.
That might be my favorite Dan.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. Were you getting some of those vibes?
And it, always.
Well, if he was...
That's okay.
First of all, it is officially a Dan Day.
Yeah, do
Secondly,
you?
If he is hitting the bubbler, how do you hit the bubbler and talk at the same time? That's a talent.
I don't know. I don't know. Oh, by the way...
The fact that Lucas is on the board, you can tell. I don't think Grandy even knows where that drop is. The Grandy man would not have gone there.
That's not a drop. That's actually Lucas. He just turned his mic on.
Let's go
That's
live all to that the happened. Other room.
Yeah, let's
What's
hear
going
it.
On, guys?
Hey.
What's that?
Director of what?
You're about an hour and 14 minutes late, but it's all good. It's all good. Oh, by the way, previous Rich, and I know his point, and it ended up on the Steph Shimmy thing, but he was like, the Warriors stink at defense. I'm like, since they got Jimmy Butler, their top five defensive rated team, and by the way, even over the full season, because of what's happened recently, did you know that the full season, the Warriors right now are seventh?
In defensive rating.
In defensive rating, and that encompasses the whole year. And they were middle of the pack prior to Jimmy coming to the team. So I know it's hard when your favorite team loses to admit that they're good. I know it's hard. And we don't do that on sports radio very much. But I want to thank Dan for calling in, because it's just a fact that I hope everybody has to just find a way to deal with this. The Warriors are good.
And the hard thing about...
I'll have something different to say tomorrow if they lose.
Well, and when you want to get upset about the small lineup, you have to remember that when they go small, defensively they have a size disadvantage, but offensively they have a size advantage. And you get some of these big stiffs into a switch... And watch what happens tonight with Zach Edey of Memphis, 7'4" rookie. Watch how the Warriors will play him off the court. Because whoever Zach Edey is guarding when he's out there, that player is going to come in on a screen and roll, and he's going to get switched onto the chef. So you got 6'3" going up against 7'4". That's a bad matchup for Memphis on defense. You're not going to see a lot of Zach Edey tonight, I would predict.
We're going to keep going with your phone calls, but I want to add this into the conversation from our own Mark Grandy, who is co-hosting Warriors Live with Evan Giddings tonight, and therefore already headed down to Chase Center a short time ago. And that's why you were able to get those sound effects from Lucas a short time ago. But Mark just went to Twitter and tweeted something and then texted us a little bit of a follow-up to it, and do with this what you will. Steve Kerr was asked if he's had any conversations of late with Jonathan Kuminga about his role going forward, and Kerr declined to answer the question. Grandy then texted us and said he turned away from Sam Gordon of the SF Chronicle, who had asked the question, and simply waited for the next question.
Well, and that's fair. I mean, I would imagine that he has had conversation, and really... it's nobody's business. He doesn't have to answer and give details on all that stuff, right?
No, of course not. No. And I'm sure that, I'm sure they're not thrilled where this conversation has ended up. It is unfortunate. And we're a part of it. So I'm not going to try to shimmy way, no pun intended, shimmy way out of that one. Like, we're a part of it. And I actually have something to say to Steve tomorrow about my specific role in it. But we'll worry about that tomorrow.
It's a story. I mean, you have a guy who
played
a lot of minutes. Not a ton of minutes, but he went from playing actual minutes to playing minutes.
There's no question it's a story. My point is this, though. It is unfortunate that we arrive at this moment and the most important Warrior game is about to unfold in the last 2 years. And for a lot of people, it's about one of the players who may not even play in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm not blaming anyone for that. I get it, but I can also comment on it. It sucks. I don't enjoy that. It's unfortunate.
Well, he doesn't enjoy that.
Clearly not.
For sure.
I mean, if I were the Warriors, I would not be happy about the way that this is unfolded. And sure, they have a very big piece of the blame pie, if you will, also. Like, he's here, and the whole thing is what it is. And so I get why people are into it, but I also understand why it's kind of a bummer where you're going into a game that's this big and potentially this exciting, And a lot of people, you know, a lot of us want to talk about this thing that's going on over here on the side stage.
I felt like we did a great job yesterday of not making it our entire show. Like, we pivoted to it about 4:30. We did some of that. One bit of news, the 5:30 Pacific Time injury report is out.
And?
Moses Moody is questionable.
Still questionable.
Left mid-back spasm. And you've got the same guys on Memphis, the same five players on Memphis who are out, including Brandon Clark and Jalen Wells.
Yeah.
So they're out. They've been out.
And we still have nothing definitive with regard to any plans for Jonathan tonight and Moses Moody's availability. I've not seen anything come across that is definitive about that. The game starts in an hour and 20 minutes. All right. A lot of you still want to weigh in, and we are coming to you. So stay right where you are. If you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Willard and Dibs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. We'd love that. And do that for the other shows as well, and you can hear all the content. Anthony Slater, for example, on This Morning with the Joes. And so that, among many other things, that you can check out if you head over there. All right. We'll get to as many calls coming up as possible, and then it's Warriors Live time. This is Willard and Dibs.
Bay Area, it's Moses Moody. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Moody! You want an update?
Yeah? Oh, yeah?
Here's the update. Moses Moody is on the floor right now at Chase Center for his normal pregame warm-up routine. The back did tighten up at shoot-around this morning. He is testing it out before getting a green light tonight. That's from Slates. That's where it sits.
Okay.
He's out there warming up. Green light, red light. Go Mission Impossible. Sounds like they're expecting a green light. We'll find out.
Yeah, red light, green light features prominently in Squid Game. I don't know if you ever saw that.
Nope.
But yeah, it's not the way I played it as a kid, but pretty awesome twist on red light, green light. And I should have asked the Doc Pandya, during the break. I should have texted him about what you can do for back spasms as far as a emergency treatment.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, certain things you can offset with injections or emergency treatments. And I wonder about a back spasm, if there's anything you can do to help the spasm, you know, quiet down. I know muscle relaxers work, but I don't know if you would take a muscle relaxer and then go out and try to play high-level NBA basketball.
Yeah, I don't know about that either. Also want to, but like we've got, everybody wants to weigh in. Let's get to as many calls as possible, but want to let you know about the Engaging Dub Nation Twitter poll. Engagement is everything on the court and in life. Vote in our Engaging Dub Nation poll on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page before every game. There's a game tonight. Don't know if you heard. It's presented by Shane Coe, your friend and jeweler. Here's what we asked today. Warriors Grizz playing tonight. Winner's the 7 seed against Houston. Loser, of course, has to go into the Friday Vortex and see if you can get OKC. So, do the Warriors have to win tonight to have a realistic chance of making a legitimate postseason run or postseason noise? I voted yes. So did 92.1% of our respondents. So, yeah, you have to win tonight. You have to win this game.
Not a must win, though, because the poll didn't run 100-0.
No.
But I think the people feel pretty strongly. I voted on the YouTube page, and it ran 85% to 15%. Yeah. So similar. Fans are definitely feeling like tonight's a big one.
Let's get to as many of them as possible. Suresh, who is on his way to the game, apparently. Hey, Suresh, what's up?
Hey, man. Thanks for taking my call. This is my first time calling. I know a lot of people have a lot of comments. But, you know, yes, if Curry stops throwing the turnovers, if Draymond stops doing the turnovers and completing the layups, if we have the big guys to out-rebound everybody, then that won't be the Warriors team that won the 4 rings. So our team plays with joy. I think we have to enjoy them as they do. And I'm going to go there today. I have a 3-0 record whenever I'm on the Chase. And therefore, I'm going to extend it 4-0 today.
Suresh, that's what I'm talking about. Go get in that building right now. He He's 3-0 this year.
First time caller, 3-time winner.
Call his message phone. That's 3-0, right. 3-0. Pow, 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 pow.
Instead of Kukush, it's Suresh. Suresh. Yeah.
He's right, by the way, for as many people who want to talk about, oh, we're small and we have to, how do we rebound? How do we adjust to this team, the Rockets or the Grizzlies or the whatever? How about how they have to adjust to the Warriors?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, more often than not, it's played that way, not the other way around.
Which is why it's worked to get four rings, because they have to guard you as well. And I do think that when you get Jaren Jackson Jr. out on the perimeter in the deep water trying to guard the chef, he's going to have a hard time.
Yeah, he loves being out on that perimeter. He likes to shoot
on offense,
out there.
Yeah.
I know, man. He and Karl Anthony Towns, will you get your butts down to the basket, please?
Not anymore.
Good Lord. Carlos and Hayward. Hi, Carlos. What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about pretty much like the ending lineup or even after halftime. I kind of noticed that Moody, even having a great first half last game, obviously Harden and Kawhi, they're going to score, but, you know, I feel like he did a really good job of containing them as best he could. I didn't really understand why Kerr felt like he got away from Moody in the second half when he pretty much was contributing what GP2 does with his hands. I mean, he was swiping it out of their hands, getting layups, drives. I didn't understand why he got away from him. You guys have any idea?
Carlos, quite frankly, I think, although I might be in agreement with you, like I wanted to see a little bit more Moses at the end because I do think he has emerged, and he certainly was that day, as their best on-ball defender. And when you have people like Harden and Kawhi on the floor, I would have loved to see him out there. But I the best that we can tell, I'm not in their brains, but we saw Draymond and Steve Kerr get pretty frustrated with Moses earlier in the game for basically not diving on a loose ball, not getting after some loose balls. And so it was harder to get into the game after that experience that took place around the second and third quarter.
Agreed, and also he wasn't really shooting it or looking to score that much. He was in a little bit of a funk, and I do think that if he goes tonight, if the back is okay, you're going to see a much more active Moses Moody.
Next up is, it's Steph calling from 880. I hope this is a different Steph. Hello?
No, this first-time caller. Long-time listener.
Thanks, man.
Listen, I wanted to talk about... Pardon me?
I said thanks.
Thanks.
Oh, anyway.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah. All right.
I want to talk about the Warriors' reputation of being a small ball team.
Okay.
As long as they've been on their championship run, they've always had at least one or two big guys that the other team just couldn't push around in the middle. Zaza, Miguel, we haven't had that for the last few seasons. And if we can get at least one person, I know we're not trying to freaking switch the whole team around, but we need at least one big person on the roster that we can put in there that can play regular minutes.
Well, I mean, Steph, I hear you. Thanks very much. Kevon Looney became that person 3 years ago, and they won a ring. You know, for whatever that is worth for everybody, I'm not saying that that's the blueprint. I also don't think that you can just create these people out of thin air and jam them into your lineup. You know what I mean? Draymond Green's going to win Defensive Player of the Year this year. And despite his size, he is also brilliant on the defensive end against the big guys of other teams. Does it create a hole rebounding the ball sometimes? Sometimes. Does it exhaust him sometimes? Sometimes. Yeah, but I don't think you can just grab a 7-foot stiff and stick him out there and hope that that's not going to mess with the Warrior rotation, particularly on the offensive end.
Right, and those guys that he mentioned were mostly like bit player, eighth men. Andrew Bogut was the original big man on a championship team, and he provided so much passing and some rebounding and rim protection, but you haven't had that ability, and it's kind of a luxury when you're a team like Memphis, when you've got three guys who go 7 feet or taller.
We do one more. Gary in Concord. Hi, Gary. What's up?
Hey, Mark. By the way, Quinton Post is 7 foot, so he's getting a little play time, giving a little bit of chance to play, and next year be a whole different year. But beside that, I was in the call yesterday. Didn't have a chance. But that game on Sunday was amazing. When was the last time a Warrior team shot 54% and lost? Like, I don't know when that ever happened.
Yeah.
going back to today, 143, sorry, that's not happening. We are a smaller team. We are a smaller team, but we win most games. Even the games we lose, we win the rebound battle and the assist more often than not. So while it is important to get some size, we've managed to overcome that throughout the year. Steve Kerr isn't sending a message. This isn't a message goo. This is not, you know, trying to get a guy, make him feel good about his game. We're not giving him a juice cup right now. JK plays in the game when he learns to play defense, when he learns to hit the open three, and when he learns to play within the confines of the offense. That's when he plays. That's why Pods plays. Pods plays the game properly. JK is a fantastic athlete, but it doesn't make him a great basketball player. Not yet. You know, and we don't know. We're not in practices. We don't know what goes on in practices. We don't know, even as, you know, fans, whether a guy's missing assignment on the court all the time. It's not easy for us to know, but the coaches and the players know. And I guarantee you, if JK was one of the best players, Steph and Draymond would make sure that he's in that lineup.
Well, amen to that. Yeah, Gary, that's absolutely accurate. Thank you very much.
And it's 10-1 when they shoot 50% this year. That was the only time they shot 50 or above and lost.
They shoot 50 or above tonight. They're going to win this game. All right, here we go. It's time for Warriors Live with Mark Grandy and Evan Giddings ahead of this huge game between the Warriors and the Grizzlies. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Don't go anywhere. You want to do it again tomorrow?
I may sleep here tonight.
Yeah, let's do it again tomorrow.
Can't wait.
For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.